The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Time for Uncle Wolfie to read the comic strips.
Yes, indeed. It's time for Uncle Wolfie to read the comic strips here today. So let's see what's happening to Bolthead, okay? Here we go. Cut music. Here we go. Bolthead has single-handedly rescued five people from a burning building when one of them shouts,
"Bolthead, please bring me back inside."
"Why?" asks Bolthead, unwinding his cape over his bolted head.
"Because I left my harmonica in there."
Quickly, like a flash, Bolthead leans over and crashes through the blazing front of the fiery building, using his bolted head as a battering ram. Well, I tell you, that does it for reading the comics today, friends. Next week, I'll read you the continuing story of Belinda Sweetwig, heartthrob transvestite. See you then.
Franco Tolo makes me smile. Franco Tolo makes me dance.
Look out! Because here it comes. I thought I saw it coming. I just had this ringing in my ears that said, "Here it comes." I know I hear it. I know it's on the way. Here it comes. And I'm telling you, in this event, in that event, and in all events, certainly in this event. What is it? I think it's this. Wait. In that case, in this case, and in every case, coming up. Probably one of the more serious things I ever did in my life. Without my pants. So come on! Everyone! You will be there, and we will be there with you when you are there. What is it?
We're still better than the dark web.
Of broadcasting, the godfather of internet radio. What else you want to call me? I'm the third man, and I'm here for you, with you. Wake up. It's night. You know what I'm talking about? Sure you do. Maybe Frank and Tolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. Let's go off the deep end together on this, our 2,553rd show. But who's counting, right? It's Omen. Stay with us, will you? Ice cap to ice cap, from Hamlet to City, from Othello and into every bordello. Don't you love how I say, and I just notice this because I notice things as they happen, and so do you, but I bring them up because I got a microphone in front of me and this is what I do here sometimes. I say, stay with us, us, as if there's not just me, but you know, let me tell you something. Here's how that makes some kind of psychological sense. It makes a little psychological sense because the many characters that roam inside my brain, the many characters and voices that emerge
from just being in front of this mic, no matter what I'm talking about or who I'm talking to about it, constitutes more than one, maybe more than two, certainly a team of nine that can go out and play baseball, perhaps. But in any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, the monkey piloted trip to the moon has begun. My name is Frank Cotullo. Man, his name adjoins the title of the show. This is a program, not a program. This is a show that made the internet, made internet broadcasting what it is today. I'm not very good at cold copy. I think that, and then here's my problem as an actor. Here's always my problem as an actor. If you put up, if you had a, what do they call them? The things you read, even cue cards or whatever. If I have to read it, I don't do so well. If I have to memorize it, I don't do so well. Ideally, for me, I just do it like this. I just say it. I make it up as I go along. That works for me. It's terrible when I do Shakespeare, because once in a while I did. You know, I did once, and it was so much fun. It was at one of these street fairs. They have a street fair in the city I was living, and they had you get participation from the audience. And they said, you know, do you want to be this? You want to be the prince? You want to play this, that, and the other thing? And then they give you a list. Kind of said, all improv is what I'm talking about. Improv is what I'm talking about. And, but this was a, you know, you'd put on these Elizabethan items on your body to wear. So it was very much like Shakespeare. So it was, that kind of thing. And you didn't give you a script, and they give you cue cards. They just said, here's his basic story. He played a prince. This is the frog. The frog is the girl. The girl is the whatever, you know. And that was great because I excel at this. I thrive at this. I thrive-cell, which is excel. I excive, which is thrive and excel put together. So anyway, there's that. And I have to tell you a few things right now. I'm really, you see, I do this show, live. I know, cause a lot of you listen live. I mean, you're live when you listen no matter what, cause you can't hear it if you're not live. But whoever's listening, let's just say who's ever listening anywhere, whether it's on one of the many great internet stations that rerun this, or whether it's on Juice Talk and you're listening to it on your own, in your own time. Maybe you're binging. Someone said tonight, it was on another radio show, I'm talking to somebody, people like to binge podcasts. Boy, no one binges Cotullo Chronicles. I guarantee you. No one sits down and says, let's see, 2 hours a show. I think I'll sit for 8 hours and just hear, what is it, 4 shows? You know, you have to dedicate a month and a half if you're going to binge the Cotullo Chronicles. And why? All right? Maybe when we have great guests. Although, once again, I tell you this, and that is that people enjoy when some of my highest-rated shows are just me, like this tonight. And that's what I am here tonight, by myself. But what did I want to tell you? I'm in a great mood. A great mood. And yet, I'm so sad. I'm always bouncing, and it's not an emotional illness. Or a mental illness, okay? It's not like some people would say, you know what you are? What do they call that? You're bio-tied. That's wrong. I'm not even thinking about that. What do they call it? You're bionic. Not bionic. You know what they say when they say it is a B, isn't it? I'm not bi. Well, maybe I'm bi. I don't know. That's not what I'm saying. I'm trying to say that I'm happy and I'm sad. Here's why I'm happy. Because I pretty much put the lid on a project, which I can't tell you about, but I hope to tell you about soon enough, or you'll know about before I tell you about. That's how magnificent is this project. And I finished. I have some cleanup work to do because, you never do a project and get it out there without doing the cleanup work. Gotta do the cleanup work. Okay. It's always sad because when you work at something large, let's just say complicated, big, whatever. I don't know. Everybody works differently anyway. I know some people who can take some hours to do something I could do in a second. And I know other things that people can do, can't do, and I could do in a second. You know, I don't even know how to make a chair. I was thinking, talking to my son the other day, who's, you know, he's biting at the, is it, what is it, biting at the, he's gritting at the, bite, chomping at the bit, that's the word. Couldn't think of it. He's chomping at the bit. You know, he's just entered college, and he wasn't even alive when this whole thing started. Okay, now he's into college. And, you know, so much is going on in his life in terms of how to participate, what to do, what to learn, what am I, you know, and you don't want, you know, you just like, it's hard to tell somebody, you just do all this stuff, you know, just jump into the fire or the water or the fire water, which is, I guess, alcohol. That's what they used to call alcohol, fire water, whenever, and do it. Okay. So I finished this project, which I have just, you know, heart and soul into this thing. And it was prompted from another project. And I hope these two projects will come together forever and ever, amen. Whatever, I don't know. And what I'm saying is, so it's done. And, you know, it's going to take a while to clean it up and get things going and for me to even be able to tell you, because I can't tell you. I'm sworn to secrecy. But I'm telling you about the experience of finishing. Okay, when I finish a project such as this, I feel the end. I feel that resolution. It doesn't happen, by the way, it does not happen on this show. I never go to tears at the end of this show. I don't say, well, there it goes again. Another 2 hours with you and you and you and you. No, I don't do that. Well, it's something that's really good. You know why? Cause I don't ever rehearse, but I'm always prepared. It's one of my many slogans. I think a person should have a lot of slogans. Why do I have to live by one motto? Don't tread on me. What is that supposed to mean anyway? Who treads anymore? Do you tread? I don't tread. I dread. Dreading. Don't dread on me, it should be. Okay? But there's so much happening, I enjoy it. But, you know, I feel the sin. And then I'm joined at the hip with elation. I'm not joined at the hip with elation. Here's a whole new phrase people will start to say every day now. Why, I'm joined at the hip with elation. But I am so happy and yet so sad. See? Because it's done. And when you're working at something, you get involved in something, it's hard to divorce yourself from that thing when it is finished. In most cases, finished. I thought this project was finished before I had to do it again. I know I'm getting to where you're going. Look, Frank, we don't know what you're talking about, so don't try to explain it, right? Let me just tell you the emotions. That's all. Sharing emotions with you, as I've done in this show since 1945. That's right. Right after President Roosevelt in America died, I came on the internet radio. I knew there was going to be here, and I said, no, I want to move along, but I want you to share with me and celebrate with me this marvelous day of, what is day? Is it? I'm doing it live. It's September of, oh, you know, that's funny. I don't think funny, but I mean funny in the terms of weird. While I'm recording this, and I'm doing this live as it's being recorded, it's the last evening of summer. So so this, finishing this project, and I didn't time it. You can't time these things this way. Things just happen that way. So it's poetically developed itself to end on the last day of summer. Something I'll always remember. Unless I don't remember things anymore. If there comes a time, God, the fates, and everybody forbid. My mother would say, this is my mother sticking in there. God forbid. The last day of summer that I literally finished. And you could see or hear, because you can't see, hey, you know what they were saying tonight? Oh, boy. Before I did the show, I don't mean in the history of the show. I mean on this particular September evening, I was a guest on in Selena TV. Kansas, Selena, Kansas TV, not Selena, Selena TV, Selena something, Selena, Kansas. I've been there, I know. I've been there, I've been to Manhattan, Kansas. I've been to Tucson, it's not Tucson. You know, there's a, well, where is there a St., not St. Louis, there's a Kansas City, Kansas, and a Kansas City, Missouri. That's right. I've been to all those places. Thank you very much. What do I want, a medal? I was on there talking, and my good friend, and I don't know how good this friend, look, let's, we use phrases, we say things like honor, and I immediately went into a few good men to play. We use words like honor, flag, Marines. But what do we mean? I don't want to go into that. See, I don't even know the dialect. I've said it 100 times. I've heard it 100 times. I don't know it. Can't memorize. I can't memorize well, and I can't read cold copy well. And you're going to find that. No, what we're going to do on this particular show, you'll see works. That'll work. But they asked me, when are you going to go do your show on Ustream? iStream, Ustream, we all stream for iStream. Ustream is a long time it's been out. It's where you do radio with a picture. Now, to me, radio with a picture, like, you know, does that? Some of these talk show guys do it. A lot of these talk show guys. There's a lot more than you think, too. Oh, my Christmas. Holy Christmas in a bottle. You should see the list of people. I think there's definitely more people out there doing various internet radio and podcasts than there are people listening. I swear to you. But that doesn't matter. What I mean is, they asked me, you're going to do Ustream? Because a while back they said, why don't you do this Cotolo Chronicles thing, Ustream, so that people could see you as you do it. And to me, if you add a picture to radio, it's not radio. It's a stream. That's why they call it Ustream. We all stream for iStream. And I don't want to do that for any number of reasons. They asked me and I had to explain it again. Jiggy Jaguar asked me, and I was on with, but I did meet a wonderful guy named Jay who's going to be on this show. So I found a guest, and that was worth it, just to be there and talk about the same old crap I talk about, you know, yelling and screaming. But I want to tell you that, I was talking about Ustream, and I'm not going to do Ustream. I'm never going to do that. Once in a while when I have a guest, I don't even do that anymore because the hookup is so weird. When you put a camera or a cam, I don't even call it a camera anymore. It's a cam, short for camera, cam, right? OMG! So you put a cam onto a computer with a tower, or maybe a computer without a tower. I don't know. I know that it just takes over the sound. It takes over the sound. You can put it on Skype, and your sound control, your whole system. Sound system is the word I'm looking to use, and I just use it. It takes over your sound system, and so there's certain things you can't do that I still don't understand. And you would think, you know? Friend used to say, when I was a kid and working among blue-collar people and living among blue-collar workers and stuff, you know, somebody did something over and over and over again, and they still didn't get it, and they always said this to me, because I was not a good blue-collar person either. Not good with my hands that way. Wrenches, screwdrivers, hammers, nails, not good. I can't build a chair. What man of my age doesn't know how to put a couple of nails in the right places to build the chair, right? Or a chair, forget about it. I don't know. Anyway, the point is I'm not good at that. But they used to say, you know, you've been in a business a long time, and they used to go, 50 years in the fish business and you still don't know how to swim. That was what they said. You learn a lot of things here. Colloquial or colonial, something like that. See, that's the stuff that goes on here. And I'm thinking, like, I tried to get a couple of people, and they couldn't make it for the show so that I could talk to people. And they couldn't make it tonight. So here I am now. And I was already talking because, like I said, there was a guest on another show. On TV, though, they used the cam. It was me. Hey, you know what? That was recorded. So I'll have to tell you when that's going to be on. Because it wasn't on. I thought it was live. Not live. In any event, in all events, and certainly this event, you're listening to me chronicle.
and the man whose name adorns the title of the show, Frank Cotolo on Cotolo Chronicles, and I am chronicling. I thought to myself, wow, you know, it's getting so tiresome. It's getting burdensome. It's getting weightless. Now I'm just using words because I love to use words. Love words and use them with care. I'm just adore that saying. Love words and use them with care. You know, it's funny. I don't even think that's the real saying. I can't even memorize it. I think it's love. I don't know. We can look it up later. Where? I don't know. I don't even know where I heard it. Here's the point. So much stuff going on. So many voices, as I said. And I go to this radio online radio, whatever. And it's got news about, people who are online now because everybody's online. Everybody's got podcasts or they're recording stuff or they're on the internet radio stations, as am I, you know, but I've been here longer than them all. Them all? Who's them all? Bob them all. And now here's Bob them all with the weather. I'm going to save the voices because we're going to do that in a little while. So, with all the noise, myself included, that is being generated in the name of, I don't know, entertainment, education, although educational noise, I don't know that much. I don't want to yell. I don't want to include educational things in noise. Informative and educational things are good. You know, and you learn stuff and then you're able to use it. That's good. Okay. I'm not going to do that. But the noise, you know what the noise, here's the noise. The noise of the people who get on, I'm sick and tired of this. And many of you may know this because I've said it and I've displayed it. I'm sick and tired of opinionated people. Now, I know I'm an opinionated person, but I mean, people who think, and that's not opinion, people who use opinion as the fact and tell and talk to people about religion, politics, anything happening. These really self-centered editorials that go on with these shows, these people who are one-sided or another-sided, but lopsided. I'm tired of this in the world of broadcasting. And I don't think I do that. I have an opinion here and there, but that's not what I'm all about. And, I thought it would be fun to go on strike. There's no, people to promote anything or do anything here now. And I'm not going to sit, as I never do really, is sit and talk about politics or what I think about this or what I feel about that. Cause I don't want to be like them. I hate them. Can I use the word hate here? Hello? Can I use the word hate? So I'm going to take you back to a time when, speaking, and there's a politician I'm going to play for you on the show in case you don't know, and you'll get a little history. Now, before I tell you more about this and play you something that is a little bit of history, I want to recommend something, and I don't often do this because it's on PBS, the pretentious broadcasting system, and you may know how I feel about them, but that doesn't mean they don't have some great shows. They do. I just don't pay for them. I watch them for nothing. And you can too. You want to give money or whatever it is and get yourself a bag and walk around and feel good because you supported them? Fine. Okay. But my point is this. Some way or another, you could probably see this particular thing I'm going to talk about anyway. This thing is, and I'm really sorry for not remembering the co-director and creator of this. There's a special done by Ken Burns and whoever. I forgot her name. I'm sorry. I am sorry for that because I like to give credit to people. Ken Burns, The Vietnam War, started to air on the PBS network. And I'm sure it's somewhere streaming and it's probably on their website. You have a local educational TV station. Or you have the, well, you can't listen to it. The hell we're listening. You gotta see it. It's a movie. And it's in, I don't know how many parts, but I, watched part four last night. And then today while eating dinner, I watched part one again. Let me tell you something. This is a really worthwhile piece of history that especially now, I don't know, especially now, cause it should always be interesting. Should be listened to, especially you baby boomers out there. This is what I'm saying. You people who sit back and think about early 70s and 60s and you're anti-war or anti-establishment. You know you're not anti-establishment anymore. You know that, don't you? Okay, so let's not get into that particular harangue that I get into, okay? I'm saying watch this. Watch it. Now, when you talk about binging, this would be a wonderful thing to binge upon. Do you binge upon or do you binge? You just binge. You don't binge with. Or you could binge with someone else if you're binging. But, I mean, to binge, it's called the Vietnam War, and it's great. It is great. And you should know about this stuff. And I'm not that to have an opinion, but to have knowledge, because it tells you something about the human condition. It tells you something about those schmagolos. I said schmagolos. I did, made the word up. And you know what it means. Many synonyms to it of people who are causing the noise, getting on to the broadcasting microphones, whether it's politics, religion, or anything. You know, what is it? It's just really, that's what it's all about now. They've taken over AM radio and it's horrible. Okay. Horrible. You got to watch the Vietnam War. Now, because of, I'm saying there's something you could do. I don't often suggest passive activities. How can it be a passive activity if it's passive? How can it be? I just realized that's a passive activity. It's not an activity. Active means active. I mean, you know, just sitting back and just, you know, zoning out. You don't zone out. Ken Burns has done. In fact, I was talking to somebody tonight about sports. I don't watch sports anymore. And I'm not, you know, it's just too passive. I can't sit there. I feel like I'm wasting my time. I'm guilty. I feel guilty. I'm sitting here waiting and my life is just floating away and these guys are out there having all that fun. That's basically it too, you know, because I've always been a doer, not a watcher. And so I can't watch baseball. I want to play baseball. It doesn't matter how old. Got to get a couple of guys out there and let's play some baseball. Let's hit something. Let's just bat and run, you know, catch and throw. I don't want to watch it. And then professional, good. God bless those guys. Get their billions of dollars walking around. That theater's wonderful for them, not for me. The Vietnam War is different because it makes you, it helps you think, makes you think, and that's good. You'd be thinking anyway. I hope. When you meditate, that's when you think yourself into thoughtlessness. But I'm not gonna talk about meditating either. What I'm going to do is saying that there's so much noise out there in the world, conflict and all the stuff and this and that. Who knows this? He don't know nothing. I want this. The politics are just, you know, always there killing people, as you will see in the Vietnam War. Whether or not you were close to it, this is especially brilliant for you millennials and even, what was before, Generation Xers? Xers? It's good for all of yous. Yes. I had many other emotions and feelings. That is emotions. How can it be emotions and feelings? See? Speak. Love words. But use them carefully. Forget about it. I'm not going to review it for you. I'm just telling you to watch it. Take part in it. How is this the last day of summer and it's so damn hot? Should have put the fan on it. There's so much noise out there now and there will be again and more and I'll be giving you noise or what have you as time moves on. But I thought I'd do something fun and related to what isn't done anymore and what rarely even anyone does anymore. Analog, an analog thing, even though you're listening to this digital, I know. It's, what can I tell you? Huh? I can't tell you anything about that. I'm going to read the funny papers. I'm going to do different voices. I'm going to have some fun. I'm going to improvise. And I have here a rare, it's rare now. If you went to the blog and read through the blog, it's not a lot to read through because I know attention spans are shrinking faster than, yeah, faster than, I shouldn't do an assembly there. Like, they're shrinking like, faster than. But I thought it would be fun to get a real newspaper's Sunday funnies, the funnies, and tell you some things. This is not nostalgic. This is now. I'm doing this now. No one does this. So I'm doing it now. In the opening of the show, a little thing I wrote and did a number of years ago, long years ago, with Wolfman Jack. I mean, Wolfman Jack reads the funny papers. And even back then, people knew a little bit about what I was talking about because there were still newspapers. And on Sundays, if you read the blog, you know that they have different sections. And they still do, even though they're little, crazy little things now. Printed newspapers, because nobody gets their news anymore. I say nobody. It's just, you know, such a small percentage of people who read newspapers. No less on Sunday, and Sunday's when newspapers keep themselves alive because they get all the advertising, because X amount of people do it to different demographic, blah, 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 blah. I'm just seeing if I could make difference, make the same, not different. That's the complete opposite of what I was thinking. If I could make the same configuration with the same word on the recorder, because it does these patches of purple, blue. I don't know what that might be because I have a problem with colors. So if I go say the same thing over and over again, you can't see it. Well, why can't you see it? Because it's not Ustream. Forget about it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to find in some of these comics I don't even know. So I'm going to make I don't even know them because I have myself. I have not been reading Sunday comics, but not because they're not there. That's because I don't get the paper. I'll get my news, and it's because I grew out of funnies. I don't buy comic books anymore. You know, they cost $6, $10. I don't buy and read comic books. You could do that on the web, though, too. But, you know, anyway. So I'm going to go through 1, 2, 3, 4, wow, 5, 6, 7. Wow, there's a lot of comics. This comes from a newspaper locally. I'm not going to tell you because I'm at an undisclosed location. So I can't tell you. But it comes from the Dash News in this particular place. And, of course, this newspaper has a website. Well, of course, they have a website. They're connected to the web. They have, they're an app. Oh, man. So much noise. And I contribute to it. And I apologize. I apologize for anything that I broadcast that's just noise. And I hope that you accept my apology. And that you just dance along with me and my guests when I have them for as long as I expect to do this. I don't have any expectations. But I'm not going to be doing it forever. Because I said I wasn't even going to be doing it for like as long. Look at how long. Oh, crap. So I'm going to read the funnies, as they used to say. But first I'm going to show you in history where this became something that was a part of radio. In the old days, and when I say old days, I mean like the 40s and maybe somewhat in the 50s, a newspaper strike, they wanted, you know, better wages, better hours, better insurance, better perks, and so they went on strike. Now, when they went on strike in New York, I'm talking about New York, okay, in New York, the newspapers went on strike. And someone had a great idea, very popular mayor at the time, named Fiorello LaGuardia. Italian guy, very popular. He was elected 18 times. That's a lie. I just made up the number. But I go ahead and say 18 times because, you know, that means a lot. I know it means a lot to me. But it'll mean a lot to you. Why is it so hot in here? It's the last day of summer. Complaining. I hate complaining. Hear that? I'm now fanning myself with the funnies. Fanning with the Funnies by Frank Cotolo. Here he goes. This makes great little squiggles. Okay, so I'm going to play for you Fiorello LaGuardia. Somebody had a great idea. They said, you know what, Mayor LaGuardia? Some of you may know LaGuardia. Do you think of an airport? New York is LaGuardia. And they go, hey, yeah. Is that what's named after? That's how our kids say.
You don't know what's named after?
Still sounds like an old man. You know, millennials. That's how it's, I'm just making up things. Mayor Fiorello LaGuardia, somebody said, you know what, Mr. Mayor, why don't you call up one of the local radio stations and we'll put a microphone here Sunday and you read the funny papers. Now, Mayor Fiorello LaGuardia said, wait a second, if the people in the newspapers are on strike and they're not publishing the news, why do I have the funnies? Why do I have the funnies? Then I got to print them because they're on strike. There's no paper. Mayor Fiorello LaGuardia was no idiot because he was correct. If there's no newspaper and because there's a newspaper strike and the workers are out on strike, so they're not working to produce a newspaper, how am I going to read the funnies on the radio? Well, I'll tell you how. A lot of these funnies, if not all of them, have always belonged to us, what is called the syndicate. They're in syndication. Just because the New York newspapers went out on strike doesn't mean that the usual panels, 2, 3, 4 panels is what they called them, of these comics. And some of them, by the way, they're all comics, even if they're serious. They call them comics. These were in many papers across the country. It wasn't like the old days, the new days. The old days weren't like the new days, of course, because in the old days, in Kansas City, they couldn't listen to New York radio, and they couldn't get the New York. In Kansas City, they didn't get New York City newspapers. In Los Angeles, they didn't get the newspapers from Chicago. And these are the main cities, you know. The little cities, forget about it. If they had their own little newspaper, the main newspaper would be the biggest city closest to the little cities, you know, the cities. So Chicago would have their newspaper. In fact, I've told this story many, many times. At one time, New York City, certainly the, is that the headquarters of newspapers? I think my father came home from work, and they were cheaper, the newspapers. They were cheap. They were 5 cents, 10 cents, you know. And I don't even know 10 cents was the, they started off like 2 cents, right? My father in the 50s, not in his 50s, he wasn't in his 50s, in the 1950s would come home daily, every day with newspapers, maybe he would come home with like 4 newspapers, but there were more that were being published every day. More than 4 newspapers in one day, in one city. How many newspapers? And some of them had already merged, which means that before there were 5, there were maybe 8 or 9. So you have a newspaper like the Journal American. My father used to come home with the Journal American, Journal-American newspaper daily. And the Journal American was once the New York Journal and the New York American.
And I guess even back in those days, when if you had like, you know, 11 newspapers, even people, I mean, what else could people do? You can't read 11 newspapers in one day, or you'd split up the readership because it'd be so few and so many little, and you know what they say, and that is that just never have so many bought such few, and no, so few have seen or read so much of the many, something like that. Then there was the Herald, the Tribune. That's one thing. There's two newspapers, the Journal American and the Herald Tribune. The Herald Tribune was once the New York Herald and the New York Tribune. So they were merging then, I think. How about the World Telegraph. The World Telegraph, the New York, listen to this name. The New York World Telegram and the Sun. One newspaper. But it used to be two. Now I just mentioned six because it used to be the Sun, the New York Sun, and the New York World Telegraph. World Telegraph, Sun, Journal, American, there's four right there that became two. There was the Daily News, the New York Post, the New York, the Daily Mirror. And they all came out different times. There were morning newspapers, afternoon newspapers, and evening newspapers. Do you believe this? Try to put yourself in that world if you haven't been in that world. So anyway, in any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, on strike they went. There were no newspapers. And so, smart marketing guy or politician guy or whatever, PR guy, some of these people don't get credit for some of these wonderful things, said, Mayor, New York Mayor LaGuardia, why don't you solve the newspaper problem for kids? Think of the readership, the listenership. I said readership. Think of the listenership. He would read the comics on the radio. And I'm going to play Fiorello, not Fior, Fior, F-I. You look him up. Get your Cotolo Chronicles notebook out and start writing this down. And I'm going to play for you Mayor LaGuardia reading the comics. This comes from Movie Tone News. And think about this for a second. What's Movie Tone News? Well, you know, people didn't have television. When they didn't have television, or only few people had television, it wasn't this big thing that everybody had television, every home had a television. The news, there were newsreels. So you go to the movies and they'd show you the news. And you'd get, it'd be, yeah, some of it would be old, and you don't get it right away. There was no app. Application meant something entirely different. So here's from, what is this? Introduced by Lowell Thomas, very famous broadcaster and a writer. And it says, programmed by Jack Haney. I don't know. I don't think it's the Haney you guys knew from Saturday Night Live. Maybe he's related. I don't know. Here's from Movie Tone News. I don't know the date on this, do we? Oh, 1945. Did you catch that, what I just said? 1945. Let's listen to this.
Here's Dick Tracy. Now, here, the first picture is the laundry wagon. It's a yellow laundry wagon. And wet wash, that's the driver, you know. He's very calmly sitting down with his back toward the back of the wagon, eating his lunch. Our little friend, Bleeding Heart, what is her name? I'll get it in a minute. She's inside with the money. And she says, when are you going to let me out of here? He says, wet wash says, easy, sister, easy. And then the next picture, and we hear the sound from inside the wagon. Wet wash says, I let you out when you decided to give me a better cut of that dough. From the inside. And we see the inside now. I offered you $1,000. What do you think I am? This is my money. And if you remember, she starts stripping and tearing up the laundry. And she has all of the money in bills in a pillow slip. And we hear wet wash. Listen, baby. I know you're a maid at Van Hoosen's.
I saw you there last week. And I know there's something phony about that dough. Now, when we get it, it's going to be 50-50. Okay? Then maybe you'd like some more of your laundry torn to pieces. Rip! She's ripping her laundry there, and that little delicate piece of lingerie. And he looks in. Ye gods! I lose my job over this. Stop! You win! I'll settle for $5,000. Now, get this picture. Here is Wet Wash. The doors of the laundry wagon are open. He's leaning with his back toward the wagon. And he's counting his money. 2, 3, 4,000. Now he's getting into the hundreds. 600, 700, 800. And the picture shows a hand of breathless stretching out. She's got hold of that iron pot. Remember the iron pot she took from the Van Hoosen's gardener's flat to put the money in?
Now, obviously, see, he's going crazy there. So it's Fiorello LaGuardia reading the comics. Now, obviously, you know, people have been following. He was reading a Dick Tracy, which was a very popular detective, and it wasn't a funny one. Very popular. In fact, if you go back, you could see a movie that, a very stylized movie, Warren Beatty doing Dick Tracy movie. I don't remember the year. And there were very colorful characters, and he was a, you know, detective. He's a city detective, actually. So he's reading it, and he's saying, remember that guy? Because he's assuming the people were all listening to this, reading this stuff, so they knew. Now, he didn't just read it. He explained what it looked like in the panels. Well, I'm going to do some, I was looking for some, like, let me see, what are some comic, what's some comic music, you know, to introduce it, but I'm just going to do it. That's it, you know? I'm just going to do it. Right? Should I? I don't know. I'm looking around here too. I'm still looking around. So lots of those. So in a sense, you know, they're not on strike anymore. And yet, they may as well be because no one reads. And there's a lot of, so I don't know if you know some of these comics, but I'm going to do this for as long as I want. You'll be listening. And maybe you know some of these. One way or another, I don't know a lot of these. And again, this is going to go back to me reading cold copy, but I'm going to make some stuff up as I go along. The first one, I was looking for something I remembered, and what's on the first page of this particular Sunday comics section? There's not one here I know. Foxtrot. I'm going to give credit to the people who still do this. I don't know how they make a living, but they do. Bill Ammond, Foxtrot. See, you have to explain some of the panels because they don't all have words in them. How about this? Zits. I'll read this one first. Zits. Zits. It's a kid with a guitar and the lady who might be his mother. It's probably his mother. Okay. So he's sitting there and he's got his amplifier, his guitar, and his mother comes in and she goes, "Gah! Jeremy!" She holds her nose. "Gah!" And he goes, "What?"
"Your smelly, dirty clothes pile is taller than your amplifier."
And he says, "So?"
"So do something about it."
And he goes, "Okay, okay." And he puts his guitar down. In the final panel, he's talking to somebody at a guitar shop. Maybe it's a guitar center. Maybe it's guitar left field. I don't know, whatever. He's talking to someone. And Jeremy says to the guy,
"My mom thinks I need a taller amp."
And the guy goes, "Wise woman." That's it. Zits. Now, I didn't say you were going to laugh your ears off with this. I'm just telling you that I'm reading the funny papers. You can't. Now, again, mentioned before about, you know, if it's Ustream, if I have a picture and I'm talking, it's not radio anymore. Well, this is tough because you're not seeing the wonderful art. Zitz, by the way, doesn't have, see, it says on the bottom here, distributed by King Features syndicates all this stuff. So there are still plenty of play, but it doesn't have an author. Okay. How about Jumpstart? Jumpstart has, oh boy. So here's Jumpstart. A lot of these things don't have characters. They just have particular situations. Remember, these are the funnies. So giggle, even though you can't see the picture. There's a girl. She's looking in an alleyway. There's a man. He's obviously a homeless guy. He's got a shopping cart. And there's all sorts of garbage in it. And there's, he's laying on some kind of a blanket, which he's made from dirty clothes or whatever. And behind him is a dumpster that is just full to the hilt. And she's looking at him. This is not, the girl is not homeless. The lady looking at him is not, she's looking at this homeless guy. So then she gets a call. She's at home and her son calls her.
How was your day, Ma?
And she says,
I stopped by my old place. It looked smaller than I remember.
That pauses for laughter. Yeah. And for you to put the pictures together in your mind. That's called Jumpstart. It's from the Sunday Comics. It's so small. The panels are so small that the person who signed it, it's illegible. Cannot read it. Cannot see it. That's Jumpstart. There's a bunch of Jumpstarts here. Here's a Jumpstart. How about this? Oh, this is a lot of panels. Oh, it says Joe and, oh, here is his name. Rob Armspolvol. I can't read this guy's name. I don't know. Jumpstart. How many panels to this? Four. It's the police baseball team, obviously playing the fire engine, the firemen. And in the first panel, the police guy is, he's going to slide into a base, and the guy who's holding the base is in the field, is the fire engine guy. The ball is coming right at his glove. Apparently, he makes it because it says, we're up by two. Oh, no, I'm not reading the panels in order. Hold on. Oh, it says, Ruiz is safe. Homer. I don't know why that meant Homer. But there's that. So the guys in the police team are in the dugout. Ruiz is safe, says one. The guy's name is Ruiz, I guess, who slide in. Homer, says another guy. Ha ha, go Joe. That's another guy's going getting up now. In another panel. Click. Joe hits something. Obviously, it's a long ball going out there. It's a home run. Homer. That's why he says Homer. I don't know why this is out of order, but he goes, we're up by two, says someone in the police team. And then there's a fireman finally trying to get to first base, and the ball is going to the first baseman. If it's first base, it does not designate in this panel. And the guy who's on the team that's in the field, there's a lot of, there's a lot of explanation I have to do. I didn't realize that when I said, I'm going to read the funnies. But, if you can't see them, I have to describe the panels. I did not count on this. I didn't think this through, as I never do. So now the guy from the fire department who'd hit a ball, and this is all out of order. Okay, he's going and the police guy says to the fire guy, take a look at the scoreboard, gentlemen. And then there's two guys from the police league have a big barrel of ice water. I know that because it says on the barrel, ice water. And someone's going, don't do it. And then there's two cops and they're in a car and they're yelling, we did it. And that's the end. This one doesn't make any sense. Even looking at the pictures, it doesn't make any sense. Maybe this game has been going on every Sunday or something. And I don't know. I haven't been following it. I don't know, Jumpstart. But that's not only is it not funny, it's not exciting. Good thing I couldn't get his whole last name in there because, Okay. I don't know. That's wild. You see, now, as I'm doing this, I'm also showing you how things have changed. It's unbelievable. I'm going to turn the page because that first page doesn't have anything. And you know, people know here. Here's people know because it's a product and it's products and toys. Garfield. You know the dog Garfield? A lot of people know this one. Well, Garfield is in the Sunday funny papers. Let me do Garfield here. Garfield is, he's not saying anything. Garfield is a cat. You know that, right? Garfield is looking at his plate. You know, his cat plate that you put the gunkle in there and he eats it and he's smiling. And someone who I imagine is what? I don't know. Is that is that his keeper? Is that the kid who lives in the house of Garfield? I don't know. There's just this kid. And he comes up to him and he goes, hi there, and surprises Garfield. And Garfield goes, puh. And when he goes, puh, Garfield blows a lot of the gunk from the his plate, cat food gunk, out, and it's now on the table. So the kid says, oh, did I startle you? Garfield's just looking at him. And then the kid goes, you really jumped. Garfield's just looking at him. Next panel. That was pretty funny. Now, in the last panel, the kid looks entirely different. He has no hair. It looks like he stood in front of a cannon, which made a huge noise, and the kid is completely discombobulated. He got hair. His hair's not there. It's coming out. His teeth are sticking out and not out. His shirt's ripped. And he goes, sort of. The funny papers, my friends. That was Garfield from the funny papers. Six panels of hilarity, leading to hilarity. Now there's one here called Sally Forth. It's just one guy talking. Is this six panels or are this two of them? No, it's two. Three panels. Sally Forth is the name of this, and we'll coming up to our break, so you could all go to the bathroom if you haven't already gone to the bathroom, or if you've left. If you've left, you're not hearing me. Sally Forth by Francesco Marciolani? What kind of name is this? Marciolani. Marciolani. I guess it would be Marciolani or Marciolane? I don't know. Let's do this, and then we'll find a way to move on here. And we could all dispose of some precious bodily fluid. Well, actually, we don't dispose of precious bodily fluid. We dispose of... Oh. Here's a guy. He's got suspenders. He's standing in front of a chalkboard. Chalkboard? Blackboard? A chalkboard? And which says on it, Intro to Business. Intro to Business. And here's what he says. Okay, welcome to Intro to Business 101, with the added emphasis on online operations. We'll be learning from such internet success stories as Pets.com and eToys and Cosmo.com. And this textbook was published in 2000 and immediately credited in 2001. Someone in the audience shouts out,
"No matter, my copy is pre-highlighted, so half my work is already done."
I'm reading the funny papers. The funny papers here on Cotolo Chronicles. My name is Frank Cotolo. I'm the man whose name adorns the title. The title of this show. That's me. And here I am now. What are we doing? Oh my goodness, the things that I think about here as we go on. What am I going to do? I'm going to find something that you could listen to. What is this? Huh? Whoa, what's this? Unknown. You don't play anything unknown. We're going to play our little
Half a cup of half of the, please. Half of the. You want half of the?
Going to move on. Then I'm going to read some more funny papers, tell you some more funny paper stories. I guess we can do that. What do we have here? Let's see if there's something that we could put on after. Oh, isn't that cute? Anyway, my name is Frank Cotolo, a man whose name adorns the title of the show. And I'm trying not to be, noisy. I'm reading you. I'm looking for, I know what I'll do. I'll put a piece of instrumental, a little instrumental delight after you hear the thing, and then I'll come back and we'll all go to the bathroom. Let's put this in here. How about that? Oh, look at that. Isn't that cute? Don't go away. We'll be talking about more of this, that, and the other thing. I'll be telling you about some guests. Oh, you know the guests are coming up. No noise. I'm just, I'm happy and I'm so sad, whatever.
Cotolo Chronicles, the internet talk show from the Neo Postmodern World.
little musical interlude there right here in Cotolo. You're listening to Cotolo Chronicles. My name is Frank Cotolo. The man's name returns the title of the show. The show can go on for as long as I want. It could stop whenever I want to stop it. Usually we go to the second hour. And here we are in the second hour. I'm reading the funnies, and I have a whole different impression of... I just had a whole different sense in my head of how, what this would be like. And as I listened I heard you. If you were here in the first hour, and if you weren't, I'd like to know where you are, or maybe send me an excuse signed by your parents if they're alive. If they're not, the closest, oldest relative that you know. If not, then you have no excuse for not being here for the first hour. But I want to say that I just thought it would be a little different. Not because I don't know a lot of these or what have you. And now I'm not here to do the history. Oh, there's my mail, huh? Why did I have that on? Did I tell you that I'm going to have a lot of guests? I thought this would be different. Let's see if we can make something out of it, because I don't know if any of you know any of these comics. I don't know a lot of them. Here's Hagar the Terrible. I'm giving you them, saying them wrong. I'm saying the wrong names. I'm not saying them wrong. Them is them. Hagar the Horrible is The Heart by Dick Brown. Now, Dick Brown, if I'm not mistaken, and I don't think I'm mistaken, is also responsible, or was he also responsible for Blondie and Beetle Bailey? No, that was Dirk Brown. Really? Dirk Brown? Is that who? Dick Brown? Dirk Brown? This guy can't still be the same guy. He'd be 109. Beetle Bailey. Does anyone remember Beetle Bailey? He's a private in the United States Army. Blondie goes way back. There were even movies in the 40s. Blondie. And I think there was a television show early in the history of television with Blondie. There's a Dagwood was the name. Dagwood? I don't remember his last name. Oh, Bumstead. Listen to this. Is that a great character name? Dagwood Bumstead. And Blondie was the story of the Bumstead families. Where do you know? Bumstead. And you know how much I love names, don't you? Because I've made up some whammaroos. And that's not even, and words too. There's a word I don't even know. I've made up some wild ones as time has gone by. Hagar, anyway, in the old days, it's the same as now. Because look, think about this for a second. Comic books are made into super hit movies, right? Spider-Man was a comic book. When I was growing up, Spider-Man, I had the first Spider-Man book. But I didn't think to myself, you know, if I put this in plastic, I'll get two. If I put it in one of them in plastic, one of them to read. And I'll keep it in a safe place. And then I'll sell it for $13,000 or whatever. Who knew? Who knew he knew that? Who knew that? Well, my point is that these particular comic books, you know, were comics. They were comics, and they went into the newspapers also, and they became movies. The Phantom was a movie. It wasn't a hit movie, but it was a movie, and it came from a comic strip. Panels, painted panels, colored ink, and however they did it. You all know Peanuts. And I'm not from the South, and I said y'all know. I meant you all know. I didn't say y'all. You all know Peanuts. For gosh sakes. That's turned into animated TV shows and books and what else? T-shirts? Well, we know the marketing of these things. Well, Hagar the Horrible. There's a whole bunch of them here. Here's one that is one panel. One panel Hagar the Horrible. They're at an amusement park, apparently. Now, who is Hagar the Horrible? Let me tell you this. These are Vikings from Viking land. You know, who knows what in the comic world of Vikings,
Someone decided to fight Dick Brown, said, I'm going to do one about Vikings. Hagar the Horrible is one of the main Vikings. So here's Hagar the Horrible is with his wife. I don't know her name. Oh, here it says Hagar the Horrible by Chris Brown. And then on the bottom it says Hagar, oh, I guess Dirk Brown. Chris Brown must be related to Dirk Brown, and he does. He carried it on, just like people do. He carries on the legacy of his dad. In Hagar the Horrible, there's a tunnel of love, and there's a boat, a canoe, and a girl is trying to get a Viking to go onto the canoe, which will go through this tunnel of love. And she's saying, no, she's trying to do that, okay? And who's viewing this in this one panel? Hagar the Horrible and his wife, Mrs. the Horrible. Now, Hagar and his wife, Mrs. Horrible, are looking at this couple. And the girl, who, believe me, does not look like a girl who would have been with a Viking. She looks like a regular girl, blonde hair, and just the 60s, the 70s, now. She looks like a girl now, a millennial. She's holding the hand of another character in Hagar the Horrible. I don't know the characters. There's obviously a regular character. And she wants him to go in onto the canoe. And he's saying, that's just a ride in the dark. There's nothing to see. This is what he's saying to her. And Mrs. the Horrible says to Hagar, because they're looking on, Mrs. the Horrible says, you need to have a word with him. You get it? That's Hagar the Horrible. One day, one panel, in the funny papers. How about Dilbert? People know Dilbert. I remember Dilbert, but you know, a lot of these I don't remember from when I was a kid, because I'm older, a lot older. And I don't see Prince Valiant is not here, Blondie's not here, although I haven't really thumbed through all the pages yet. So you have a lot, you have a lot to look forward to now, because I haven't even started to look. Okay. Well, and we're here. My name is Frank Cotolo, man's name is doing the title of the show, and we're just doing this now. What's coming up in the future? Well, Charles Dennis will be here with Michael Swan, and of course, Michael Laskin will be here, and another bunch of that whole crew there of great actors who are doing stuff from At Will at Large, the kind of the repertory company of Foo Dog Productions. You go to Foo Dog Productions at YouTube, and you'll see some of the stuff they've done and are doing, and they will be on this show. We'll have a lot of fun, including Kenneth Welsh, who was on here with a bunch of the guys there, and he's making a movie somewhere, a TV series down somewhere. Yeah, and then he'll be back, and we'll have him on. All these things that we'll do. We were going to do Michael Swan last week with Charles Dennis, but we had a problem. So we didn't do it. Okay, here we go. Let's look at Dilbert. Dilbert is talking to... Oh, wait, I don't know which one is Dilbert. Is Dilbert the one with the head that looks like... I can't even describe it. Okay, here's Dilbert talking to another guy who obviously works in the same office. They're funny-looking guys, and if you know Dilbert, like I know Dilbert, oh, what a cartoon character. Here is what Dilbert says in panel one. All of our robots quit and left the company. In panel two, the other guy says, I should have seen this coming. The smart ones always leave. And Dilbert says, excuse me? And the other guy says, get back to work, lifer. Dilbert, from the funny papers. I don't know who reads these who reads these? People are making a living doing this. They have so many Dilberts on this, too. That another Hagar the Horrible. Here's that other character. I have no idea who this is, but he says, I got a real bargain on this rug today. And Hagar goes, bargain? It's a steal.
Ha! That was an easy raid. The castle guards were pushovers.
Huh?
This is amazing to me. I'm having a problem understanding the Sunday.
Son, forget about Sunday. I'm having a problem understanding the funny papers.
What? Is it me? Or do not these things make some kind of a sense I'm not in touch with at the moment when I read them? Get back to work, lifer.
Means the guy's there for life. I mean, Dilbert will be there for life. And the funny, I might have to explain this. It's not funny. If you have to read it, it's not funny. Even the panels. Cartoon characters, if they're people, always have different styles of cartoon-ish features. Big noses, weird hair, strange shaped heads. In this Dilbert, there's a guy, and his, his head, he's bald, and his head is like a finger without a nail. Oh, okay, let's just say it, okay? It's a phallic symbol. His head is a phallic symbol. I don't want to inject hidden meanings and metaphors and allegories and allophores and metagories to these comics. I'm just saying. They all have these strange heads, faces, shapes. Here's Dilbert. Scott Adams does Dilbert, and here's another Dilbert. There are three columns. Column one. Same guy who was in the other one, but it's not the guy with the fingerhead, the bald guy with the fingerhead, the man who was his boss is talking. I guess that's his boss, the other guy, because he has a whistle? No, they both have, around their neck, they both have, I guess, cards on strings that means they're supposed to be in an area, IDs. Let's call them IDs. So here's the guy says. He says to the guy with the weird head, the bald, weird finger head, the... the phallic symbol head, he says to him,
our experiment with robots in management has been a success.
Panel two.
Productivity is way up since they started killing the low-performing humans.
And then they show the two guys talking with the bubble of talking. He's coming from, I guess... That's the building they're in. So it's not them. Okay, so he says, productivity. Now the other guy says, the guy with the phallic head, the phallic symbol head, says,
but that's murder.
I like that voice.
But that's murder.
And he goes,
only when humans do it, we found a loophole.
The funny papers. The people who write these things, usually there's, the artist is the writer. I don't know if the ones where there were two people, a writer and an artist, were funnier. I have no idea. I don't know the age group or the target group or the IQ that is supposed to be reading these and enjoying them. Here in this Y2K plus 17, the world is so different, and yet they use things like they're talking about robot, they're talking about robots. In the workplace.
Okay.
Baby Blues. I'm not going to do that one. What about this one? We did Garfield. Here's more Sally Forth. Oh, Sally Forth, when that one with the kid and the guitar. Sally Forth is obviously the mother. Sally Forth obviously has a daughter, too. And here's a daughter, not her son. Four panels. Let's see if we get through this. Ah, this is the girl.
Ha! Ah. How can they be assigning us term papers already? It isn't even officially fall yet.
And Sally Forth says,
yet you happily proclaimed it officially summer on Memorial Day.
I'm serious, Mom. Teachers should be slowly bringing us back into a school frame of, in a school frame of mind, day by day.
I told you I don't read this cold copy well.
That way, by the time fall does arrive, we've actually had a full summer, well-rested, a full summer, well-rested, and ready to learn.
Sally Ford says.
And then you would be okay with writing term papers?
And the daughter says,
well, autumn equinox doesn't really arrive here until after school on a Friday this year. And by then, everyone is ramping up for the holiday season. But mid-January, bam, we hit the books hard.
The Funny Papers. Sally Forth by Francesco Marciolano. That's how I've decided to say his name. Here's a classic, Peanuts. They have voices. So when I put, and I don't know them as well as some people, so forgive me if I put different voices to these. I don't even know a lot of their names. Is that Sally? What's her name? I don't even know her name.
You just think that copper bracelet is helping you.
Oh, because Peanuts, the very famous dog, this is named after the dog, isn't it? Peanuts? Isn't Peanuts the dog? He yelled out to the wall, and the audience that doesn't answer, to the light bulb. No, her name isn't Sally. Lucy. Her name is Lucy. I remembered. Give me applause. Nobody there to do the applause. Lucy says to Peanuts, because Peanuts is wearing a copper bracelet. And?
You just think that copper bracelet is helping you.
Peanuts looks at the bracelet and says to himself, my arthritis is gone. Because he doesn't really speak, right? So he just does it, and he just thinks to himself. And then he turns to Lucy, and he kisses her on the nose. Then he walks away, Peanuts, and he says, when your arthritis is gone, you love everybody. The Funny Papers. I'm reading The Funny Papers, and classic ones here, too. Peanuts. Peanuts. Okay. Sally Ford, Peanuts. Let's turn the page and see if we can get some more. What do we have? Here's Vito Bailey. And I'm wrong. It was Mort Walker. Mort Walker did Blondie and Vito Bailey. There's a bunch of Vito Baileys here. Let's do Vito Bailey. Vito Bailey is a private, or, you know, the lowest rank of an American U.S. soldier. And you never see his eyes, in case you don't know. He has one of those stupid, well, I don't even know if they wear those anymore, private hats, Army private hats. You never see his eyes because it's always over his eyes, the hat. And little shards of his hair are coming out of the hat, which is part of his uniform. I guess we just call it a hat. What do they call it? A hat, right? Yeah, okay. Beetle Bailey, here we go. This is Beetle Bailey. He's with a girl, a blonde. Beetle Bailey is with the bond. You know, this says Greg and Mort Walker, because Mort Walker created and did Beetle Bailey for years and years and years. And apparently Greg is probably his son, and he's doing it. Can you imagine? No matter your age right now, could you imagine that all you ever did as your major job was to draw and write a comic strip? Could you imagine if that's all you did all your life? All right, maybe before you, got into doing that on your own or for a company or what have you. Maybe you did menial jobs or you serve, you were a waiter or whatever. But could you imagine if that was all your whole life? Anytime you find somebody who's done one thing their whole life, they always say, you know, I wish I would have, or I wonder what it would have been like, even if they don't wish, or I mean, even if they do, even if they wind up doing something their whole life that they love doing, they're still going to sit back and go, yeah, but I wanted to be a basketball player. Yeah, that's what I wanted. I wanted to be in the NFL, the National Basketball, NBA. I was going to say, but I said NFL, the National Basketball Association. Whatever. Here's Beetle Bailey, two panels, Beetle's talking to his girlfriend. Now, Beetle Bailey, there were X amount of Beetle Bailey cartoons. And you know what? Just for fun, because that's why we're doing all this, because there's too much noise out there. I'm over here at, where am I? I'm over here at, YouTube again. I'm going to put in Beetle Bailey. Beetle Bailey. Right here. Beetle Bailey. Go to YouTube, and there's a Beetle Bailey. Oh, yes, here's Beetle Bailey episode 1, 23 minutes. I'm not going to play all that. Is there something? Oh, wow, wow. I just want to get a taste of what Beetle Bailey, Mort Walker's Beetle Bailey, intro and close. This will be fun. I'll do the intro and close. We don't know, and I'll make up his voice. Here's the intro and close of Beetle Bailey when it was a cartoon on TV. Here it comes. So it became a cartoon.
He's a military hero of the nation. Though he doesn't always follow regulations. As the son of rebel, he is here for you to see. And we know you'll laugh at Private Beetle Bailey.
Beetle Bailey, Beetle Bailey.
As the general, colonel, major, and the captain. The lieutenant and the sergeant and the corporal. They will tell you with a shout. They would gladly live without a certain private by the name of Beetle Bailey. Beetle Bailey.
Beetle Bailey.
Now, that guy at the end there, that's the Sarge. Beetle Bailey! I could do him. So, you see, when they... I don't know how long this lasted. Are you going to look that one up? There's a Beetle Bailey. Okay, here's my Beetle Bailey and the girl. Here's Beetle Bailey.
I got 25,000 steps on my fitness tracker today.
Did you go on a hike?
No. That was just avoiding... the Sarge. No, that was just avoiding the Sarge.
Let's hear the song again. There you go, that's what it is.
He's a military hero of the nation.
Of the nation.
So he doesn't always follow regulations.
Oh, man.
He is here for you to see. And we know you'll have the Private Beetle Bailey.
Beetle Bailey! All right, okay. Let's get one with the Sarge. There's just the Sarge and some... Beetle Bailey's not in this one. Beetle Bailey! The Sarge. Of course, the Sergeant would talk like that. These are all real stereotypes. Because those are cartoons, you know, that's what... And they're not living, breathing things. They're just stereotypes. In fact, they do this, and the Army's probably... no one in the Army reads Beetle Bailey anymore, do they? I don't know. I have no idea. I'll tell you this much, though. My name is Frank Catolo. I'm the mayor's name, but joins the title of the show. There's only... 30-something minutes? Less. Left. On this show, tonight, or whenever you're listening to it here. Man, maybe any number of stations where you got it as a podcast, or you returned it off.
You're going out with me tonight.
Says who?
Says me. My new dating app says Women Decide.
She grabs the Sarge by the tie and just drags him out. Because she has a new dating app that says women decide.
Says who?
That's the Sarge.
Says who?
Whew. Wish I could tell you more about this stuff. I mean, know one thing. No one is going, oh, geez, I better get to the Rush Limbaugh podcast. Oh, I better get there. Oh, my goodness, I better go see who Adam Carolla has on his podcast tonight. I know that's not happening. You know what? It could be happening. The Wizard of Id. The Funny Papers. Now this will be fun if you don't know. If you live in a city, or a town, or if you have a smartphone, you could probably look up a lot of the stuff there. Look up funnies, you know, look up Beetle Billy. It's probably a website. I didn't look it up, but you know, they probably have any number of places where you could read this stuff. I'm not talking about political comics. I'm just talking about this down and dirty, lame funnies, panels with paint and stuff. You can read about it. You can read them yourself. And try to find one that really makes you laugh. It's not easy. And these are like quick things. And the really strange thing about what I'm doing now is that I'm reading them to you and I'm doing these ridiculous voices. They're not ridiculous, but you know, they're cartoon voices for the funnies. I'm doing this and it's not working. I'll tell you why it's not working. It's not working because the material is not as good as the drawing. And this brings up a very interesting fact. This is a theory, because you know you can't say what's funny. Some people know what's funny, and other people don't know. And some people think some things are funny and other things aren't. Okay, that's a matter of taste. It's subjective. But the artists who make up these characters, or made up in the past tense, made up these characters and did these cartoon panels. They were first artists. Second, they may not even have been writers. Okay? So what I'm saying is that the illustrator is better than the writer of the cartoon. I wish I had to make this into a theorem or theory or some kind of an equation, if that's indeed what that might fit as a definition. We'd have to find one that has two people involved, one of them the artist, one of them the writer. The writer would be responsible for making it funny, or, well, if it's a comic and it's supposed to be a joke. If not, then it's just coordinating the story, as in a comic book or something that wasn't supposed to, like Prince Valiant. Has anyone heard of Prince Valiant? He started off as a, and there's another Viking, but it was a serious one. It wasn't like Hagar the Horrible and Mrs. the Horrible. It wasn't like that. I don't know if Prince Valiant, I think, became a movie also in the 50s or 60s, yes, it did. You can look that one up on your imdb.com. So these things, I'm reading to you with these voices, and you're listening to the voice, you're trying to picture something you can't, because that's not the medium. The medium is to look at what the artist has drawn and read the bubbles, which is the dialogue or monologue of that cartoon. That's the experience. I'm not giving you the experience. And Mayor Theorado,
Mayor LaGuardia didn't give me the experience either. That was a sham. That was something to get people to listen to him. And it was fun to listen to him because in those days they had nothing else. They didn't have TV. They had movies, but you had to go out for it. But in the home, they could listen to the radio. They didn't have smartphones. They didn't have interweb phones. They didn't have phones on the interweb or anything or Instagram or InstaChat or Snapgram or FacePlace or anything. Okay? But the medium itself of the comic is for one person separately, individually is the word I was looking to find, and I just found it, and there I used it. Individually, look at the panel, look at the picture, read, and then laugh. Now, if I do the talking for you and you can't see the cartoons, it's right there, it loses something. Now, if the artist is also the writer, and he's just better at art than he is at writing, then it also stinks. Or at least, when it's not good, you could say, I had a pleasant time looking at these characters. Now, want another Beetle Bailey? No, look at this. There's Beetle Bailey, and the guys are like, oh, I don't even know these guys, and they're golfing. Huh.
Are you playing golf again?
She says to the older lady, says to the older man, and he goes, yes, I feel I'm going to score today. Next panel, that guy is with his friend playing golf. I've been playing golf all my life and never had a hole in one. The other guy says,
I know a guy who got a hole in one the first time out.
And the other guy says, that's just luck. Maybe today is my lucky day. Pow! Bing! He hits one. Is that what it's called? Hit? He swings and hits one. I guess they say hit, yeah.
Hey! It hit 3 inches from the hole. Then it bounced off the green into the woods.
I'll be lucky to get a hole in six. That's the payoff. Try to get a hole in one. Never had a hole in one. I'll try to get a hole in one. I have to explain it to you. Try. I'll be lucky if I get a hole in six. Beetle Bailey. It's tough. It's tough. This is tough. This was, in a sense, a stupid idea. I may be the first person to review this. But what the heck, we're here. We only got a couple more minutes. Hey, is Blondie! Dagwood Bumstead is here. Let's wait a second. Dagwood Bumstead is here. Now it says by John Marshall, Ellen. Oh, wow. I don't remember who originally did, but I can't see the names here. Gene something and John Marshall. So Blondie has been bequeathed to other artists and writers. Dagwood Bumstead. If you go, and this is something you could do when you're not doing anything, or just surfing around, or putzing around on the old interweb computer wide world, put in the name, go to Google, put in Dagwood Bumstead. Dagwood, D-A-G-W-O-O-D, Bumstead, B-U-M-S-T-E-A-D, Dagwood Bumstead. Put it into the images and Google images and you'll see what this character looks like. Or you could write in Blondie comic strip and you could probably, there's pages that have, you know, classic strips. Dagwood Bumstead. Okay, Blondie come, excuse me, I'm hungry. I ate dinner early. Because I had to go on that other show and then I had to be here. I didn't want a heavy meal just making my stomach protrude as I sat here with you. I never want my stomach to protrude while I sit here on the air with you. It's me, Frank Atolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. You know, while you're at it, don't forget Amazon has my books. Has some digital books of mine. not that I own. I do own them, but I wrote them. And you'll want to get onto your iPad, your iTab, your whatever, your iKindle. I don't know anymore. I think you could read anything anywhere, can't you? And get these books. They're inexpensive and they're good. And some of them are funny. Some of them are romantic. Some of them are, you'll be the judge. They cost $2.99. Not all of them. There's a book of poetry there costs $1.99. Is it? Yeah. Just go to Amazon.com and it'll say, go to drag down books, put in the name Frank Cotolo, it'll take you to the page. And the page will have License to Skill, Sweet Shepherd, Man of La Mancha, and Wordsworth Shelley. Those four books. $3, $6, $9, $11. You hear that? Did you hear that? Another cricket got in. This is like rural. This is a rural area. I'm hungry. I'm just doing what I would do if you were sitting here with me, listening. That was Blondie. Hey, BC. Now, BC goes way back. BC, of course, means before Christ. And it has to do with cavemen. It's a cartoon with cavemen. But like in the Flintstones, like in Comic Land, you take language that's modern, you take certain things that are modern, and you put it in that other realm. BC by Mastroianni and Hart. Now, here's two people. I don't have to be sure because one of them could be another one. That could be one person doing it. But anyway, it says two people, so maybe this will be funny. Maybe you know BC. Okay, one caveman is standing there. And he's got what looks like a bicycle, which would be two stone wheels and a wood and a stone seat. So, he's made the Stone Age version of a bicycle. And he's showing it to his caveman friend. Now, wherever this is taking place, it's warm. Because they never show, I can't say that. Maybe they show cavemen when it's winter. Maybe it's four seasons. This happens to be Caveman Summer. By the way, that's a great name for a book. Here's my new book, everyone. I'll start writing it later. Caveman Summer by Frank Cotolo. That's right. Cavemen living in parts of Earth that had four seasons. One of them would be a caveman summer. Dun, 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 dun. Okay, let's do this. He's standing there, and he's showing this bicycle to his friend. And he says, "What do you think?" And his friend says, "That's nice. What is it?" And he says, "I call it the dual unicycle." And he says, "Your genius knows no bounds, Thor." Guess the guy's name is Thor. There's the punchline. Your genius knows no bounds. Dual unicycle. See, that's double joke there. Instead of calling it a bicycle, because it's a... You don't explain jokes. That's BC. Boy, there's another one. I don't even understand this one at all. It's three panels on a beach. Something's on top of a dinosaur. Oh, it's a dinosaur. Wow. Because newspapers have shrunk, they're not even the size they used to be. Because the printing cost is too much and they don't make as many or whatever. The comics are small and in a case of like this, I didn't know, it looked like three lumps of dirt It's a dinosaur. I couldn't see the eyes because I couldn't make out that this was a dinosaur in this BC world. Yeah, okay. So the dinosaur is laying on the ground in panel one. He's laying on the ground in panel two. Pretty much the way he was laying on the ground in panel one. In panel three, he's laying on the ground the way he was laying on the ground in panel one and panel two. Only in panel three, he says, I was trying to do a push-up. The funny papers. The crickets. It's like the audience, right? It's like... You're the crickets. Crickets for the audience. Wow. I'm excited because I turned the page and they have Prince Valiant is still out there. Hal Foster's Prince Valiant. They're still doing Prince Valiant. Wow. This is serious now. No jokes. I'll do this here. Prince Valiant. What do we see? I can't even make this out. You see what I'm saying? It's so small. Anyway, they're fighting. There's guys fighting guys. And here's what the panels say. Here's what you read. Val and his companions raid the bandits' camp. Karen rides to the Jur that houses the Jur? Karen rides to the Jur that houses the kidnapped girls and sets herself to protect them. While Numair and Venny smash apart the crude fencing that corrals the horses. And then all is chaos as the frightened herd is stampeded through the middle of the encampment. Those bandits who are lucky enough to avoid being trampled find that all inclination to fight has been knocked out of them as Val had planned. Val is obviously Prince Valiant. They call him Val. Next. Hey, on the bottom, you can hardly see this because it's so small. On the bottom is his next. They all looked the same. They give you a title of the next one. Prince Valiant by Mark Schultz and Thomas Yates. Prince Valiant. Now, you know, who in this world, today's world, in today's world, you think about this being a serial, and that's what it is a serial. You want to know what happens in the stampede with all of them in this particular thing? You know how it got here? Forget it. If you weren't reading ahead of time, you don't know how it got there. But now that it's there, you want to know what happens to these guys and to Karen who went to the Gur? What is a Gur? Anyone? Thank you, Mr. Cricket. Jiminy Cricket. Ah. Who in this day and age, no matter their age, with all the things that are going on, including the noise from 1 week to the next, even from 1 day to the next, because, you know, some of these used to be daily, but the newspaper was only in color on Sundays, the funny papers. During the week when they had panel comics, they're in black and white. So let's even say that that's a Prince Valiant on a Sunday, big and in color, big, the big four panels. Okay, let's say Monday comes around. Now, you read this, I don't know, in the morning, even in the afternoon. Now, the next time you're going to see Prince Valiant, and believe me, I really find it hard to comprehend that somebody gets up in the morning and one of the things they think about where they have to do during the day is, oh yes, I got to go to work. I got to do that report. I have to drive there. Oh my goodness. I got to drive there, going back, and then I got to go do some shopping. Then on my way back, I got to get this for my wife or this for my house because I shop for myself because I'm not married or my girlfriend's there. I got to meet someone for dinner. I go to dinner. I have meetings. I've done that stuff. I get transportation, whether it's my own car and I drive and it's traffic and I get home and I want to eat. Okay. To you, I find it hard to comprehend the person who would say, and I have to read What happened to Prince Valiant?
So much had gone... Right? Right?
No less remember what happened.
How about thinking
or remembering that, you know, that was yesterday. Today, I want to see what happens. I remember what happens, and it's on my list of things to do. Prince Valiant!
Wow. Everybody's life is complicated. Even simple lives are complicated. Because even simple lives, and that's a definition you have to... you have to assign that definition to what? It's another subjective thing. What's simple to one person is complicated to another, and vice versa. So how do you have in, do you keep a book every day to decide what you need to do that might be different, even with the same pattern? You go to the same place to work or whatever. You know, your days don't change that much. Breakfast is in the morning. It's late. If it's later, it becomes lunch. And you don't have a breakfast. If you skip breakfast, because at a certain time, you can't have breakfast. That's what's funny. Two, how definitions have changed. McDonald's. Breakfast or served all day. Well, breakfast is the very meaning of breakfast. Definition of breakfast. Is it the morning meal, or is it the first meal you have? Because if you get up at noon and the first meal you have is eggs, I mean, if it resembles what you would eat for breakfast, but you don't eat it for breakfast because it's lunchtime, is it lunch? Breakfast, lunch, and dinner are at certain times. So you see, simple to one person, lunch to one person is another person's breakfast, is another person's dinner. Holy crap! Life is complicated. People are different, and yet they're the same. Okay, fine. So how do any of these people say, you know, I sure can't wait? Or imagine being excited. What? Imagine this. I know I got a lot of work to do today. I know that report is due. I know I got to meet with my boss and three clients. I know that it's going to be incredibly difficult to get to work because they're doing road work, street work on the way there, and I drive there. I know that. But by golly, I'm so excited about what happens to Prince Valiant. Prince Valiant today. I can't wait. And here's why. Because there's so much noise, even in the Department of Entertainment. Everyone dancing around to get everyone else's attention, whether it's with music, whether it's with comic strips, whether it's with news, whether it's with opinion, whether it's with political opinion, whether it's with prayer, whether it's with life-saving... Oh. You know, people don't think about these things a lot, and I think that's a psychology thing, that's psychological. You don't think about this stuff. When you do, you know, life just seems so inundating, you don't want to do anything. Some people think, other people don't. I'm just saying that couldn't happen, right? Prince Valiant. Rex Morgan, M.D. Dun, 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 da, da. I'm doing the song. I'm humming the song of Ben Casey. Dun, dun, which is a TV doctor. Dun, 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 Rex Morgan, M.D. They'll do this dramatically. The girl said, Margie, just packed up and split. Rex Morgan says, it sure seems so. Judging by these papers she left us.
What are we going to do?
I guess we call Margie's lawyer now.
And I suppose I call the daycare and ask if they can take one more kid. Do we call the police?
I don't know. I don't think this counts as child abandonment since we've been
tapped to be Johnny's guardians.
It's more that I'm worried about Margie's safety.
Is there a chance she might hurt herself?
I don't think so, but I don't want to take that risk.
Kelly, can you stick around a while? We have to make some calls. Dun, 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 dun. Rex Morgan, M.D. Dun, dun, dun.
Now, see, I'm not following it. I don't know who this one talking to Rex Morgan. Is that some lady talking? And who's Margie? Why did she split? Why does she have a kid? Why are these people their guardians? I don't know if I just read this and I don't follow it. How do I follow it if I don't remember to follow it? And I have all these things to do. My God, what's going on? It's too crazy. My name is Frank Cotolo. Man's name adorns the title of the show. That's it for the funny papers. Thank you very much if you're applauding. If you're not, I don't know what to tell you. I'm going to put this away. And we'll never read the funny papers here again. But I'm sure we came up with a couple of things that might have meant something to you. And, you know, maybe you'll look into the funny papers now. Maybe you'll go, lots of times I do that. I bring up a particular item of pop culture or something. And then people go, yeah, no. And younger people, of course, look into it. And they've never seen it. That's why you have your Cotolo Chronicles notebook, or you go to your search engine or what have you. Anyway, in any event, in all events, and certainly this event, was once again, as long as it takes, it's certainly a lot of time goes quickly. And here we are again at the end of this rope. The end of this rope here on Cotolo Chronicles. You could go to CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com, or you can find me, or find out what we're doing here if you become my friend on Facebook. Boy, I just hate saying that. You know, it's like, what, just because you click? Well, that's what they call these people. They're friends, right? They're friends. Ay, ay, ay. It's unbelievable. Oh, there goes my lamp. Hello. Schmuck, schmuck. Anyway, we're going to be back. We hope next week, maybe we'll have, Charles Dennis and some of those other people. Maybe we'll have, who knows who else. We've got to get Dr. Woldar on here again. A little team of teaching is starting again. And you know, cause, the Cassini died. Maybe we'll talk about the Cassini dying. That Saturn, Neptune, wherever else it went. I love space. And I take up some of it while I'm here on Earth, just like you. Ay, 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 ay. Yeah, I'm doing a helicopter with my... I'm doing my helicopter to get home now! My name is Frank Cotolo, man whose name adorns the title of the show. You know the other places where you can find me. Go buy my books. Go do whatever you gotta do. Stay safe and stay alive and awake. Good night, Mrs. Ursula, wherever you may be located. I know they were just comics, but I said a lot about them. Right now, as Sarge would say, I have nothing more to say.